Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, we are studying the reality of angels and giants with Rudy Landa, and Greg Patton will be living in today's world. Friends, your faithful financial support has sustained Watchmen on the Wall these past 9 decades. And we need your help and support now more than ever. Your support will help complete our brand new television studio, sustain our hardworking staff, and ensure that the message will continue to go out around the world. You can share your gift by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can give your gift at our website, SWRC.com. Another way to show your support is by naming Southwest Radio Church in your will. Call our office and we'll share the details on how you can leave an eternal legacy and ensure that this Bible-based ministry is here until Christ returns. 1-800-652-1144. Micah Van Hus recently sat down with documentary filmmaker Rudy Landa to discuss the reality of angels and giants, topics that will be discussed in great detail at our upcoming Mysteries of the Bible Verse conference in June. Here's Micah Van Hus.
Welcome to the program today. I am your host, Micah Van Hus. I hope that everyone out there is having a wonderful day. Today on the program, we have a special guest. We're going to be talking about Rudy Landa and his documentary, Angels and Giants. And Rudy, how are you doing today?
I am fantastic, Micah. It's so good to be with you this morning.
It's an awesome day here in Northeast Tennessee. Springtime is in full movement. Had some turkey hunting this weekend. You know, it's a good day and a good week coming up. You got anything important going on this week?
Just, I wouldn't say important, but it seems like nowadays that pretty much everything has a ripple effect. So pretty much everything you do ends up being important sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
I'd much rather be turkey hunting with you, though. I mean, that would be really cool.
Come on up. I guess a little bit more than a year ago, or you can tell us, but a year ago you released Angels and Giants, The Watchers, the Nephilim DVD. And so tell us a little bit about your DVD, Rudy.
Well, the project, unfortunately, took way much longer than it should have to release. Because as you know, and as a lot of people can relate, you know, we unfortunately fell prey to the woes of COVID, you know, and the lockdowns and everything. The project's been done and released out, like you said, about a year ago since we were able to finally get it released. But it was in production since 2019. We got most of our photography done by the time that the lockdowns began, and then all the uncertainty and all the closures and whatnot affected our post-production, because it was a very post-production intensive project. So it took us way longer than we wanted to, you know, to get it out there. But we finally got it released, and now we're able to share it. So all's well that ends well.
Mm-hmm. And the synopsis, roughly what is this DVD about?
Well, it is a completely all-encompassing study of the Watchers and the Nephilim. We set out to basically tell the story for everyone from the expert in the genre and in the field to the people who know absolutely nothing about it, or I should say that, well, yeah, the people in general, but especially the believers, you know, Christians who know very little to nothing about it. And as you know, and as you can imagine, there is a lot to cover. So we were blessed with the resourcing from our parent company, and just with an army of experts that were willing to talk to us. And, you know, it's been well received, you know, from the folks that have seen it. And so we're excited, and we just want to get it out to as many people as are into the subject matter. We feel that they will all have something to get out of it. We go really, it's a really deep dive on the, not necessarily on the, you know, on the semantics or the minutiae or whatever, but really just on how broad a topic it is, how encompassing it is in the fields of archaeology, in the fields of Egyptology, just history in general. And we get into the uncomfortable stuff. We get into the talk of the of the occult, of the supernatural, and the dangers of it. You know, so like I said, I feel that there is something that pretty much anyone who's remotely into the genre can get out of it.
And you said uncomfortable, absolutely uncomfortable. And of course, I do a bit of talking about this kind of stuff, folks who listen to the program. Right. But this is stuff that God has included in His Word. And as you talked about Egyptology and other things, God doesn't give us the complete picture of what's going on in His inspired Word. But we do have mythologies. We do have writings from other ancient cultures that back up the things that the Bible is talking about, the Book of Enoch, etc. I don't take the Book of Enoch as inspired. I believe that the books we have are the inspired Word of God. So we are talking about the giants and their fathers, the Watchers. And so what message do you want people to take away from your documentary?
Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, obviously, any documentary that I do, and I've done by now, I think, six or seven of them, on different things, on other topics as well, other biblical topics. Obviously, the ultimate goal for any of us who work in Christian media would be to someday hear that your project led someone to faith, you know, that led somebody to find Jesus, obviously. But in this, you know, before this project, I worked on a project called Apocalypsis, which was a look at end time prophecy. And one thing that I've come to realize in the journey of doing this project has been that there is a lot of division where it feels like 20, even 30 years ago, there was a lot more. It almost seemed like the mainstream theology was to believe in things like the rapture. Mm-hmm. I'm finding that it's not necessarily the case anymore, so I don't assume what anybody believes by any means. But you know, we did a documentary on from a dispensationalist point of view of the end times. And so, like I said, I kind of tread lightly on when I say those things, because I don't want to end up inadvertently offend or turn off anybody.
Right.
But when we did that film, I personally felt like there was a little bit more of a liability, if you will, on the messaging of it, because I felt like it could directly impact somebody's salvation.
Yeah.
You know, where with this project, I had a little bit less of that, burden on my shoulders, because ultimately I feel like the story of the Nephilim, the Watchers and the Nephilim, the study of it, I feel like it's got more to do with tying it all together. Mm-hmm. For me, the subject matter, you got to remember, I'm not a scholar. I'm not a teacher. I'm a television director, producer.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who produces will tell you that the best manner of producing is to immerse yourself into the subject matter and be the voice of the average man who wants to ask the questions. So you're asking the questions for them on their behalf and bringing the answers.
Mm-hmm.
So in the process of that, I wanted to ask all the questions that had to be asked. But at the same time, like I said, I didn't feel that burden of making sure you get it right.
Yeah.
Because this subject matter is one that ties it all together. I feel like, as a believer myself, the stories of the Bible, to a certain degree, sometimes get siloed. You know, this is something that happens in Genesis. This is something that happens in Samuel. This is something that happened in Chronicles. And you just kind of go from this story to the thing about the Watchers and the Nephilim is you start to see how the thread that ties it all together, this battle that has raged for millennia since the garden for the souls of mankind. That is the story of the Watchers and the Nephilim. The Nephilim, the Watchers and the Nephilim are I hate to put it this way, but they're the same characters with different names throughout history, or we see them, you know, with different names. They stop being called the Nephilim after a certain point, and at a certain point they just become the Watchers. At a certain point they just become the powers and principalities.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point we're talking about demons. And it's the same cast of characters just running in the background in the supernatural world all through the Bible. All of a sudden you start to see just how much of a supernatural running thread, linear thread there is throughout the Bible. And I feel that a lot of the subject matters in the Bible get put into a completely different light when you start seeing them that way.
Absolutely. And you have mentioned folks who, you know, maybe you don't want to approach with this, or new Christians. I've actually, at the conferences I speak at, I've had people a couple come up to me and say that they came to God because of this. It made so much sense, and this is what they believed was really going on, and people have come to God because of this.
Absolutely. And that, like I said, that obviously is the goal, man. Absolutely. For me and this one specifically, there's two things aside from that. There are two things that I really would love to see happen. One would be for people to feel challenged to pick up their Bible and to study. Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating study. It's a fascinating deep dive. And if there is never a time that you go looking for answers on anything that you, I'm not going to say necessarily that you might get an answer you're completely satisfied for on some things, on some issues, and for some of us, it's an ongoing thing. But the study of God's Word never returns void at all. There will always be something that the Lord will seize the opportunity to talk to people about, whether it be about the Nephilim or about the answers that they're looking for their daily life, you know? So that would be one thing that I would feel like, you know, hey, you know, we succeeded at something if it challenges people or interests people to pick up their Bible and see it differently. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is, you know, I tell my son all the time, man, you guys get all worked up about Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings or whatever. The Bible is that and then some. If we have the money, if we have the Peter Jackson budgets, can you imagine the epics that we could make on the story of the Bible if they were done right, you know? So that's one thing. And then the other thing too, man, is something that was very eye-opening for me was how, again, continuing with this thread of the linear existence of the supernatural, how subtle and how celebrated and how pop culture all this supernatural occult and new age, how pop it's become and how accepted it is and how cool it is. It is literally the cool way into hell.
Yeah.
You know, that would be another measure of success for me, is if we can have people see really quick that even the church has been infiltrated with the occult, you know, and I don't want to sit here and name names or point fingers, but there are things that are being taught in the church that just should not be, you know, come out and I'll say it. Nobody should be talking about the Enneagram in church.
In today's day and age, of course, Revelation warns us about the lukewarm churches. As a caution to folks at church, make sure your church tells the truth above all. Make sure it tells the truth, because so much today is void of truth. If you've joined us here on the program, we are listening to Rudy Landa. We're talking with Rudy. Rudy has produced the DVD Angels and Giants. Make sure you get a copy. We're going to ask him where to get those in just a second. But you can also catch Rudy Landa and myself, Micah Van Hus, at the Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio on June 7th and 8th this year. So come on out, not just me and Rudy, a bunch of other speakers. We've got Derek Gilbert, Michael Hoggard, Greg Patton, Mac Dominic, Josh Davis, and myself and Rudy. We're going to be talking about the topics that your Sunday school teacher didn't at the Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference. You can register for the Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference at marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com. And so, Rudy, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about your documentary. Is it available for streaming yet? I have the DVD, but is it available for streaming?
It is. It is. You can go to Angels and it's not the ampersand. It's Angels and, you have to spell it out, giants.com. And that leads you into the on-demand platform.
So I'm looking forward to checking that out. Is there anything, well, let me ask, by what was your favorite thing about the film? What was your favorite part of the film?
Well, Michael, like I told you earlier, for me, again, I'm not a scholar. I'm a television producer, director. And so the beauty of this project for me is that where people like a lot of the folks that have become my friends along the way, like Derek Gilbert, for example, he's become a very dear friend, or people like Doug Van Dorn. These guys were doing the deep dives into the Watchers and the Nephilim years, decades maybe, before I did, you know? So one thing that's been really cool for me has been the sense of discovery all along the way, and finding things and seeing them through the eyes of someone who's not an expert and someone who's very much learning. Obviously, if I really had to summarize it, I would say that's been my favorite thing, man. It's been the sense of discovery again, I had known, you know, I tell people all the time, we had read many times, I had read through Genesis 6 passage mm-hmm. on the Nephilim and the sons of God and coming for the daughters of men. And mm-hmm. And it, I call it the speed bump verse because it felt like, you know, like we read it and it was like, yeah, that's kind of weird, interesting. And you speed right over and you keep going. Many years, you know, and I had even heard about the Nephilim mm-hmm. and had heard, you know, the story, but I never, not in this manner. And then once I immersed myself in it, it was just discovering a whole entire new world, a whole entire new genre. And then, you know, when you bring in the video and film aspect of it into it, and you start saying, okay, how are we going to show this? Now, how are we going to turn this into a quality product that people will actually want to sit down and spend many hours watching? Mm-hmm. It was a challenge. And like I said, it was a huge blessing to have the support of AnswerQuest, who was willing to pony up the production money for it and let us do it and let us do it right. Mm-hmm. You know, listen, media, as I'm sure you know, is not a cheap thing to do. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when you, and this is certainly not to criticize or point fingers at anyone, but the quickest way for something to turn cheesy is to do it to be cheesy about it. And we did not want to do that. We didn't want to turn people off with something that came across cheesy. And so we took a lot of patience, and it took, you know, like I said, a good investment mm-hmm. from our parent company. So we're very thankful. You know, we tried to maximize every single dollar that we were entrusted with. The one thing that we didn't want to do, man, is I feel like the subject matter sometimes tends to get needlessly sensationalized mm-hmm. or overly sensationalized, which honestly there is no need for, because as it is already, the actual unadulterated subject matter itself has plenty to to wow you with, you know?
Yeah.
So we made a commitment that in as much as we were able to, we were not going to overly sensationalize the you know, the material. From a personal standpoint, I tell people all the time that in my personal life, I'm a what I call a reluctant charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one to be led out of emotion. I'm not one to be led out of, again, sensationalism. I don't like it, you know.
Yeah.
So I wanted to maintain that approach to this.
Yeah.
And I feel like the viewer will feel that. I feel like they will feel like it was grounded.
Yeah.
And with facts, and, you know, like I said, without trying to sensationalize it.
You can talk about sensational things without sensationalizing them. And you mentioned Genesis 6 and the speed bump verses 1-4, where, and right. I want the listeners to understand that Genesis chapter 6, a lot of people think that that's the only reference, that like this is the section of Bible, you know, it's just a couple of verses. To be honest with you, these giants and the fallen angels, the princes of the powers of the air, they are all throughout Scripture, not just Genesis
Absolutely.
Chapter 6. It's the book of Isaiah, 1st and 2nd Peter, Jude, we get into the New Testament. These giants appear all throughout Scripture, Samuel, Chronicles. So it's not just the speed bump verses there. Actually, just a few verses later, I think it's 5 verses later, it's not just about the giants and their heavenly fathers, the watchers, the fallen angels. It's also about Noah, a few verses later, who is perfect
right.
in his generations, right after
That's
it talks
right.
about having giant offspring. So I just want folks to know that this is all throughout Scripture. It's not just a speed bump
Absolutely.
Section. And like you said, a lot of people see it that way. And did you learn anything by doing this documentary?
Oh, so much. So much. Again, like I said, the being able to see the Bible as a running thread, and of course that's almost a bad answer, because I mean obviously we know that, you know, anyone who's a believer, who is a seasoned believer, who has, you know, read his Bible, knows the how the Old Testament and New Testament work together and all that stuff, should not be surprised by those things. But it's not really about it becoming some new revelation that that the Bible is the linear existence and how everything kind of runs together. It's not so much that, as much as it is seeing how it works together, actually seeing how in every aspect, in every story of the Bible, in every it's almost like telling the story of World War II, right? And going year by year and saying this is what happened, you know, when Germany invaded the first invasion was, I can't remember, I think it was Poland or whatever.
But, I think so.
When this started, and then the Axis formed, and then Pearl Harbor happened, and then et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and you see, because you know the story, and you've seen the documentaries and the movies and the classes, the history classes and everything. You know that in the backdrop of it all, you have the Nazis and you have the Allies, you know, all the way across. And so you may have these siloed stories about something that happened here, there, but you know in your mind that you got the same cast of characters. Well, this is what the Bible became infinitely more like that to me after, and I don't know if that analogy makes sense. But it became a whole lot more like that to me in seeing that this existence, this whole entire linear existence, has been about the battle for the souls of men, which is the most precious thing to a God who sent his son to purchase that very soul of mankind. And so when you start seeing it like that, you see that this entire existence, ever since the fall of man in the garden, has been a war for the very soul of every person who's going to watch this talk.
The serpent in the garden. So a lot of folks have the question, why is this important and how is it pertinent? Well, we're going to answer that question with Rudy. With the time we have left, Rudy, I want to ask you another question. As a filmmaker and a producer, what is Hollywood preparing us for?
Man, that's a long answer. I think we're going to be seeing things in the near future. We're starting to see the shadows of them now. They can't keep the genie in the bottle much longer about the things that they've been hiding from us. And I'm not trying to get sensationalistic again. We're starting, you know, first of all, a couple of years ago, they admitted that UFOs are a real thing. They can't hide it anymore. We've all kind of known it all along, but it's almost like it's kind of seeping through the pores. So I honestly believe that there is, in fact, an end time deception coming. How that's going to be, I'm not going to try to nail it down to one thing, but I do believe that in these last days, which I believe that we're in, and yes, a lot of this has to do with your eschatology and the way that you see the modern times, whether or not we are in the end times. I personally subscribe to the idea that we are, but I honestly believe that the enemy knows that his time is short, and so he's going to try to do everything that he can do to deceive as many as he can. Not only before the return of the Lord, but after, if you believe in the tribulation, and I know a lot of people don't, but there is a deception coming, and I feel like Hollywood has been used by the enemy in multiple ways, as we know, but they've been used for so many years in desensitizing us, in almost preparing us for the appearance or the arrival, if you will, of extraterrestrials, because that never, the talk of UFOs and extraterrestrials and aliens, and that never points in the direction of the cross. Never.
Absolutely.
It always points.
Absolutely.
And always used by those who question God's existence to begin with, or the plan of salvation, or all the things that we believe in. Well, what about extraterrestrials? What about aliens? Are some of the first questions that always come up when people are trying to debate or argue against the existence of God or the necessity for salvation or just the, you know, God's plan of salvation in general. It's those are always questions that come up. So I feel like Hollywood has been desensitizing us for many, many years, decades, and you know, concepts like the transporter beam and wormholes and all this stuff. Which I'm not saying they're not real. That's the other thing too, Micah, that I feel like as believers, a lot of times we take the things of the Bible that don't align in, that are not in good standing with the Bible, like for example the occult and ghosts and things like that, and we say, well, that the Bible says that those are bad things, and we just don't, that those things don't exist. Well, no, they exist. They very much exist. The Bible just tells us not to mess with them because they're bad. So again, I'm not saying that things like, you know, wormholes and all these things don't exist, and even things that might appear and show up as aliens. I'm not even saying that doesn't exist. I'm just saying the origin and what's behind it and what's deeper is what we're getting set up for. Desensitized, And if not necessarily us as believers, though I feel like many will fall away and be deceived, definitely the crowd that doesn't know Jesus, absolutely.
Today we've been talking with Rudy Landa about his film Angels and Giants. Again, you'll be able to hear him at the Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference in Cincinnati this year. So Rudy, as we close the program today, how can folks get a hold of you?
A couple of ways. They can, I have, and I should know this by memory, but I have it right here. You can go to, on Instagram, we have a page, Angels and Giants Film is the Instagram page. And also, if you want to see the film, you can go to angelsandgiants.com. Either way, it ends up there. When you get to the Angels and Giants page online, it's also going to, we have a YouTube page as well. Yeah, then there's going to be a lot of, just a ton of content on there from the film and whatnot. There's many ways to find us, and you know, like I said, the most accessible one in social media right now is the Instagram page. All these pages to remember, and I'm trying to keep up. I'm feeling older these days, so it takes me a little bit to keep up with all the social media stuff. It's out there, and holler at us, and I check them regularly. So if people pose questions, I try in as much as possible to answer as many of them as I can until I get overwhelmed.
Rudy, thank you.
Likewise, brother. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Ready to learn more about secret societies, giants, and the invisible war on the saints? Three books, an absolute treasure trove of information, are here for you. Giants, Gods, and Dragons by Derek Gilbert. Invisible War on the Saints by Greg Patton. And Secret Societies by Micah Van Hus. Order these three books today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order these outstanding books at our website, swrc.com. Right now in Israel, red heifers are waiting to take their place in history. Friends, if you have a prayer need, would you let us pray for you? We consider it an honor to pray with you. Prayer requests come in from all over the country through the mail, on the phone, and now through a special email address, prayer@swrc.com. That's prayer@swrc.com. Or you can always just give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, we'll share the latest details and information about these red heifers and the strife and turmoil they're causing. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app or by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.